Looking group here tonight. Beautiful people, beautiful families. I like to get here early and catch up with a lot of folks who are in from out of town, and just so good to see the families here together tonight. And such a beautiful, beautiful night. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you again for this evening, and I pray now that we'd focus on who you are and what you've done. This is all for you, Lord. Bless this time. Lord, may we quiet our hearts before you. In Jesus' name, amen. So much to enjoy this time of year, amen? The time off from work, the time with family, exchanging gifts, all that delicious food to eat as we prepare for our diets on January 2nd, right? All of the tradition. And I certainly enjoy all of that and hope you do as well. But let's remember what all that celebration is about. Christmas is about a baby. Christmas is about a very special baby born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Someone once said, Christmas is God coming down the stairs of heaven with a baby in his arms. I love that. That's my favorite definition of Christmas. God coming down the stairs of heaven with a little baby in his arms. Jesus, the most special baby, the unique baby. That night when Jesus was born, there were some rough characters out in the fields of Bethlehem. Very humble guys called shepherds. They were out there, it was an ordinary night, doing what shepherds do, and suddenly a burst of light, an angel appeared. And remember what the angel said, the announcement. It's in Luke 2, verses 10 through 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Don't be afraid. This is not a night to be afraid. This is a night to rejoice. A baby has been born. A very special baby. And I want you to notice tonight the titles that that angel used to refer to that little baby. They're very odd titles when you apply them to a little baby. The angel called that baby the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. And I want you to just consider those titles. First, consider the fact that that babe in Bethlehem was the Lord. The Lord. It's the Greek word kurios, and it has several meanings in the scripture, all of which are odd when you would apply them to a baby. Kurios refers to a person in charge by virtue of possession, an owner. So, a person owns a vineyard. A person is in charge of that vineyard. That person is the Lord of the vineyard. A person owns a business. That person is in charge of that business. That person is the Lord of the business. Now, that's odd when it applies to an infant. Babies aren't in charge of anything. They need constant care, don't they? They need people in charge of them. And understand, this is the mystery of Christmas. When Jesus was born, he was a helpless infant, completely relying on the care of Joseph and Mary. But at the same time, he was in charge of everything. He's the owner of the universe. Kurios also refers to somebody who's just in the highest position of authority, a king, a governor, a president. Again, we don't put babies in positions of authority. Jesus, as a baby, was completely helpless once again, and yet, at the same time, occupies the highest place of authority. And then the most surprising use of the word kurios in the Bible when it would be applied to an infant. Understand tonight that it is a term of deity. Kurios means the Lord. God, the divine one. The creator. That baby in Bethlehem is the Lord. Deity. God. And that's the mystery. That's the miracle of Christmas Eve. What theologians refer to as the incarnation. God became man. God is a baby. You look in the manger scene every Christmas Eve, and that baby is God. And understand what the scripture says. Jesus was, in his incarnation, fully God and fully man. It's a mind blower. It wasn't a 50-50. It wasn't like he was 50% God, 50% man. It wasn't like he was a blend of humanity and deity. He was 100% God and 100% man. And so you think of it. The omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God became a baby. The infinite God became finite man and remained infinite God. The God who never sleeps, sleeping in a manger. The Word of God, unable to utter a word. The all-knowing God having to learn how to walk. It's no wonder that Paul said, without great controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Do you understand, folks? God came to planet Earth. 2,000 years ago, the living God came here, born into this world. Then the angel referred to that babe in Bethlehem also as the Christ. This is the Greek word Christos. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah, Mashiach. This is a title. This was not the last name of Jesus. This was not his surname. This was a title. Very, very special, important title reserved for only one person in all of human history. Christos, Messiah, means the anointed one, the chosen one. In the Old Testament, when priests were ordained into the ministry, they were anointed with oil. When prophets in the Old Testament were ordained into the ministry, many of them were anointed with oil. When a king was coronated in ancient Israel, anointed with oil, and that was symbolic. That signified that God had chosen that person and anointed that person for that place of power. The chosen one, the anointed one. And of course, that babe in Bethlehem is the ultimate anointed one, the ultimate chosen one, the ultimate king, the ultimate priest, the ultimate prophet. We are celebrating tonight the birth of the most important person ever within all of humanity, throughout all of history. The Christ. The center of biblical revelation, way back in the first part of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, God promised there's coming a Messiah. There's coming someone who will save, who will deliver, who will defeat Satan, who will recover all that's been lost from the fall of mankind into sin. And there are literally hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament promising that one day the Christ would come. Jesus is that Christ. All of the Old Testament points toward Christ. The Gospels of the New Testament record the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And then the rest of the New Testament looks back at the life of Christ, explaining it. The Christ is the hinge on which all of biblical revelation swings. Christ is also the hinge on which all of human history swings. Christ is the focus of the Christian faith. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is about a person. The Christ. The most important birth in all of history. The most carefully planned out, deliberate birth in all of history. Scripture says Christ was going to come and it was ordained even before the foundations of the world. Think of it. That babe is the Lord. That babe is the Christ. And then he also says that babe is Savior. The Savior. And this, of course, describes what his mission was. Listen, why did God come here? Why was it necessary for there even to be a Christ? The entrance of the Christ into the world. Why? Very simple. So that we could be saved. That babe came to save. He came to save the human race. He came to save human families. I want you to take it very personal tonight. That babe was born to save you. You. The human race is in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of danger. I mean, you look out across this world and you see so much destruction, don't you? There's so much pain, there's so much suffering, there's so much hurt across the planet. I think of all the wars that are going on. You read about what's going on in Aleppo. You think of the crime, the drug addiction, the broken lives, the broken marriages, the broken families. People struggling with depression, people hurting, broken hearts. All across the globe, there are hospitals, prisons, mental wards, funeral homes, cemeteries, graves. So much hurt and so much pain. Even at this time of year, it is the most wonderful time of the year, but even at this time of the year, you can feel the pain, can't you? There's hurt, there's suffering. In fact, for a lot of people, this time of the year is the most difficult time of the year. They hurt, they suffer. Maybe you're here tonight and you're hurting. This is not a joyful time for you. Or maybe you're doing just great, but you're empty. Maybe your life could be described like a beautiful Christmas present. On the outside, beautiful bows, beautiful wrapping paper, but on the inside, empty, hurting, confused, wondering what is the purpose for life. Listen, the Bible has an answer for all of that destruction. There's a reason why all that exists, and it comes in one word, sin. We have all been born as sinners. We all have a sinful nature. We all blow it. We all have the capability to make decisions that destroy our lives and others. And worst of all, our sin separates us from the God who loves us and made us. God is completely holy. There can be no sin in his presence. Sin must be forgiven. Sin must be washed away. And that's what Jesus came to do, to save us from our sins. There's an interesting, wonderful doctrine in the Bible that's known as substitutionary atonement. Here's how it works. You have a perfect, innocent person over here. You have guilty sinners over here that deserve punishment. If the perfect one were willing to take the punishment for the guilty ones, literally take their sentence, pay the price, then the guilty ones could be declared innocent and forgiven. And don't you understand that that's what Jesus came to do? Jesus came to offer his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. The perfect substitute, 100% man, he can represent man, and 100% God, without sin, completely innocent, both necessary. He is the perfect substitute. And understand tonight that that baby in the manger in Bethlehem did grow up. He became a man. And he literally went to the cross to offer his life for the sins of the world. The Bible says that at the cross, all of our sins were placed upon him. He died in our place. Now, can you imagine the horror of being perfect and sinless, completely holy and spotless and pure, and then being plunged into the cesspool of human depravity? All the garbage, all the yuck, all the sin. That's what our Lord did for us. All my sin, all your sin. He died in our place, and then on the third day he arose again. And he's alive. And the scripture says, if you place your faith, if you will come before Jesus and ask him to be your Savior, he will save you. He'll wash away all of your sins. You'll become a child of God, a citizen of heaven. And by the way, he'll fill you with his Spirit, and you'll begin to live a life that is free from sin, from harmful addictions, hurtful habits. There was a missionary by the name of Sundar Singh, and he worked among the Hindus, who were pantheists and were fond of saying that God is everywhere and in everything. One day Sundar came to a river he had to cross. No boat was available. But a man gave him a large deflated water skin to use as a flotation device. Sundar inflated it with air and crossed the river safely. Turning to the pantheistic Hindu crowd that was watching, he said, "Now see here, there was plenty of air all around me, but it was incapable of getting me across the river until it was confined in the narrow space of this float." He continued, "It's true. God is all around us. He is omnipresent. But in order to save us, he had to come down to be confined to the small space of a human being. He became man, who died and rose again. And thus he can get us across the river to the other shore safely." That's what Christmas is about. God coming down the stairs of heaven with a baby. God confined to the small space of a human being, who came and willingly offered up his life for us. That's what we're to celebrate tonight. That babe is the Lord. That babe is the Christ. That babe is the Savior. That babe is our only hope. I want to ask you tonight, is he your Savior? Is he your Christ? Is he your Lord? The greatest sacrifice has been paid. He did it because he loves you. But please understand tonight, he does not become your Savior by default. You have to ask him. You have to receive him. Like you would open a present. Open your heart. And let Jesus in. He's alive, you know. Third day he rose again. He ascended into the heavenlies and he is there. Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is here in our midst, ready to save. Let's take a few moments. Let's turn the lights down. Let's have our singers come up. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I want you to reflect right now on this Christmas Eve, right now in this very holy moment. I'd like you to take some time and for yourself peer in the manger. Who is Jesus to you? Is he Christ? Is he Savior? Is he Lord? Have you received him? Let me just ask you this. Do you believe him? Do you believe the story? Do you believe what the Word of God says? If so, then you know that you need to receive Christ. Don't let another Christmas pass your way. Without having gotten right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. How do you open your heart to him? How do you receive him? With a prayer. You just cry out to him. You admit to him. And I'd like to lead you in that prayer right now. There would be no better time than to do that at a Christmas Eve service. You'll never forget it. And if you ask Jesus to be your Savior, he will come in. He will wash all of your sins away. If you've never done that, do it right now. Pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Lord. You are the Christ. You are the Savior. You died for me. You rose again. And right now, I want to put my hope in you. My faith in you, my trust in you. I open my heart to you right now. Come in. I receive you. Fill me with your Spirit. Change my life. Make up for the mistakes I've made. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, all of your sins are forgiven. You've been saved. And the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you. Rejoice. Can we turn all the lights off? Even the spots. Even in the family room, even in the lobby. We have a tradition here at our Christmas Eve service. You all have electronic candles. Wish we could do real candles, but they won't let us do that. But we have electric candles. Don't turn them on yet. Let me explain. This is symbolic for us. Jesus said in John chapter 12, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. I think we can see the birth of Jesus as a bright light entering into a very, very dark world 2,000 years ago. That light was meant to spread. And over the last 2,000 years, it has spread. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, His light spreads to you. You become a child of light. And let that light shine. If that light has spread to you, why don't you turn your candle on right now? It's symbolic that you know Jesus. Maybe everyone didn't get a candle. I thought I'd never say this in church, but you can use your cell phone. There you go. Put up the light. Okay, now let's all stand. Let's all stand, and we're going to serenade King Jesus, the light of the world. Out tonight. Let's keep these raised up.
Joy to the world.
Sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Heroes, oh. world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Okay, one more. And I want you to picture baby Jesus in the manger that real quiet night. Sing it loud.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face.
We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We adore you. We can never thank you enough. Take our lives. Bless these families gathered tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all turn the lights on full blast. I would like to watch people go. We will have a service here tomorrow, Christmas Day at 10 a.m. We're dismissing now. Every kid gets a candy cane on the way out, so make sure you get your candy cane. And we'll kind of rock it out on our way out. Let's go.